other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
He's scheduled in this hour. We talked to him this morning. He's coming to Austin for the Texas Book Festival. Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz, who's criticized the IMF and World Bank's policies. With huge guests like this, though, I really should never announce them. Every time I do announce a big globalist guest, it gets canned. We'll see if we get him on. We're trying him right now. And he's also probably accustomed to radio interviews starting at 5 after. But we're working on getting him right now. And we'll also be taking your phones throughout this hour. We had Aaron Russo on in the last hour and a half, an amazing individual. And we had a caller call in earlier who doesn't believe the North American Union, that doesn't believe in any of this stuff. He just thinks we're making it all up. And I've learned about the North American Union for, I guess I learned of it about 13 years ago, and I just can't believe that now it's in effect and people are in denial. They just cannot... They cannot interface with reality. They are in abject, willful denial. I remember back, I guess it was in 2002. In fact, I have the article here, March 4th, 2002, Infowars.com, the World Bank and Secret Argentine Plan, transcript of Greg Palast, journalist for BBC and Observer in London. And you go through the transcript of the interview with Greg Palast, going over what those documents meant that were released soon after Joseph Stiglitz left the World Bank. And here's part of that transcript with Greg Palast. Well, I'll tell you two things. One, I spoke with the former chief economist, Joe Stiglitz, who was fired by the World Bank. So I, on BBC with The Guardian, basically spent some time debriefing him. It was like one of the scenes out of a Mission Impossible, you know, where the guy comes over from the other side and you spend hours debriefing him. So I got the inside of what was happening at the World Bank. In addition, he did... not brief me, but I got some other sources. He would not give me inside documents, but other people handed me a giant stash of secret documents from the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And it goes on to say that, and so one of the things that is happening is that, in fact, I was supposed to be on CNN with the head of the World Bank, Jim Wolfensohn. It's now Paul Wolfowitz. I guess you could have Wolf in your name to be there. And he said he would not appear on CNN even if they put me on. And so CNN did the craziest thing and pulled me off. So now they're threatening total boycott. Yeah, right. So what we found was this. We found inside these documents that basically they required nations to sign secret agreements in which they agreed to sell off their key assets, in which they agreed to take economic steps which are really devastating to the nations involved. And if they didn't agree to these steps, there was an average for each nation that signed 111 items that they are required to sign off on. If they didn't follow these steps, they would be cut off from all international borrowing. You can't borrow any money in the international marketplace. Now, no one could survive without borrowing. And he goes on, and the next, 10 pages, or the transcript's even longer than that, to break down what these documents entail. And he put a lot of them on BBC, but there was a news blackout with this. We've always wanted to get Joseph Stiglitz on the show, and we're trying to get him on right now. Have you had any luck yet? Just rings and rings and rings and rings. Of course, more often than somebody just not coming on, more often we get our time zone scrambled. But I was at the office an hour before airtime when Kevin Smith was on the phone with Stiglitz talking about the interview. So he was scheduled. We'll continue to try to get him on. If not, we'll have open phones in this third hour. Get into Bush's smoke and mirrors, so-called border fence, and a lot more. Right here on the GCN Radio Network. The websites are Infowars.com, Infowars.net, JonesReport.com, MartialLaw911.info, ArnoldExposed.com. There's a bunch of others I didn't list. But the two big ones are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Updated multiple times daily. We'll be right back on the other side of this quick break and start going to your calls. And hopefully getting Joseph Stiglitz on. Stay with us.
Here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're trying to hook up a Nobel Prize winner, Joseph Stiglitz, former chief economist, World Bank. Either got our time zone scrambled or I've talked about it. Whenever I have a big guest in the past, I've learned to keep my mouth shut until they just suddenly appear. And I think if I would have done that, he'd been there. But a lot of times they find out who I am and freak out and don't come on. But we'll see what happens. If not, you know, there's no telling. We get about 95% of the guests on that we do shut up, but we'll see. It's always best when setting them up is to give them no information. But we try our best to do that without being dishonest with people. Let's go ahead and go back to your calls. Joe had called in. We ran out of time last hour. I said, hold, we let him finish. He's calling in about some manual about voting or something. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I've got the manual right in front of me, and it has procedures for everything. And if
okay,
people
what manual?
Want,
whose manual?
The state of Wisconsin. It's pretty much state standardized, but for each city, it'll be a little different. But for people that can take time off on Tuesday, our polls are going to be open from 7 till 8 o'clock. And
I understand. What does the manual do? Just tell us.
It's the Election Commission Poll Worker Training Manual. For this year, it's have a certified or whatever, so we've got those.
But poll workers have no control over the wireless connections and hookups.
Actually, we don't have those kind of machines. We just have the Scantron ones. We
Which
still have
just
the
as
paper
bad
ballot.
Because they're just as bad, you feed them in, and it's then put on a computer that can be manipulated.
Well, the thing is, if anybody wants a recount, we've got those ballots on hand that they have to refeed because we
they
are.
They refeed them with the same county clerk stealing the election.
Well, that's why we also have the observers. And if somebody wants to be an observer, they cannot keep you out. Now, if you have like 20 or 30 of them, that's why it's good to become an observer early on, so that they don't say, well, we've already got 20 people, sorry. So you have to document everything. If you read through the manual, it'll say step by step. And if somebody goes beyond that, if they add something they're not supposed to, if they take something out that they're not supposed to, make sure you catch it on tape. And you can demand to have a police officer come and arrest them for election fraud, or at least give them a warning. Look, you know, you've been caught doing this, don't. And it'll look horrible on the news for anybody if somebody sees ballots going someplace they're not supposed to. I mean, this is just to protect your rights. And if
sure,
you don't...
Sure, well, I mean, and I appreciate your call. People should get involved in the election process to see it for themselves. I volunteered in, what was it, 1998 and 1988. And I was there. And I saw in the Republican primary that was at the Austin Convention Center, I saw cases. I mean, I was there stacking the Scantrons to make sure they were being, you know, stacked correctly or in the right order, facing the right direction, to then be fed into the automated readers. It looks just like a college or high school, you know, exam system, you know, A, B, or C or whatever. And then it's fed through and read by a computer. Optical scanner is the proper term, and then put into a computer. And, I mean, Pat Buchanan had more than half. I mean, it was, because I have to admit, I was stacking them, I was looking, I was asking other people. I was saying, what are you seeing, Pat Buchanan? And you're sitting there, and then I'd take them and cram them in the machine. And then it came out that night, he got 8% of the vote in Travis County. And then they caught him in Arizona and other places where he'd really won. They stole it from him. I mean, Pat Buchanan won the Republican primary. He should have been the Republican candidate running against Bill Clinton, not the corpse they ran, Bob Dole, the consummate insider. And that didn't happen. And it was all over the country they stole it from Pat Buchanan because he has the popular ideas. He's a populist. He's what the people want. And he's predominantly anti-war, anti-Federal Reserve, anti-open borders, anti-globalist. He's what Republicans want. They don't want Bob Dole. So it's been going on forever. And I'm told we got another number for Stiglitz. Did you have any luck? You're getting him right now. He told me that a few minutes ago. I'm sitting here salivating. Well, we have him. Well, better late than never. We're so honored to have him. His new book is Making Globalization Work. The last one of the other big bestsellers he had was Globalization, and it's a disconnect. Joseph E. Stiglitz, Dr. Stiglitz, won the Nobel Prize in 2001 for his economic ideas and theorems. And I really think it's better for him to introduce himself, the most important points, because if I tried to go through all his letters and laurels, we'd be here for all day. Thank you for coming on, sir.
Well, it's great to be here. Sorry about the confusion.
Well, that happens sometimes. It's probably on our end. Just in a nutshell, sir, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm an economist. My theoretical work, for which I got the Nobel Prize, was called The Economics of Asymmetric Information, or Imperfect Information. It's about how markets work when some people know more than others, which is the case in all markets. And what was so remarkable is that for 200 years, economic theory had been developed on the assumption of perfect information, and it was just hoped that a world with imperfect information would be almost like a world with perfect information. I showed that that was obviously not the case. But then the other thing I did is I was asked by President Clinton to serve on his Council of Economic Advisors and eventually served as the chairman of the council, which is his chief economic advisor for economic policy and a whole range of issues I dealt with. And then after leaving that in 1997, I went on to work at the World Bank as their chief economist and senior vice president, which is where I got really very deeply involved in the issues of globalization, which I wrote about in my book, Globalization and Discontents, and my more recent book, Making Globalization Work.
And rather than get into complex theorems and you know, the unified theory of economics and all of that, because, you know, I mean, even for myself it's hard to understand, but for our general listening audience, I mean, some probably know as much as you do, but most probably don't have even an idea. Can you boil down why you left the World Bank, why you were critical, your term coining the IMF riot. You know, what's wrong with the way that the global system is being administered? Can you crystallize it in maybe a 2-minute statement?
Well, the most important thesis that I bring out in my new book is that we've become more economically integrated, more interdependent, more dependent on each other, but we don't have the political institutions that can help us address the needs that we have to act cooperatively. We have to act cooperatively as we are one integrated world, world economy. And the result of that is that quite often there are big losers, and we haven't paid enough attention to those losers.
Aren't we really, Dr. Stiglitz, aren't we really seeing modern neo-mercantilism?
Well, we are seeing it in many places around the world. We talk a lot about exports. We want to promote our exports. We don't think about it from a systemic point of view. Our exports are some other country's imports. So if every country just promotes exports, then of course the whole trading system doesn't work.
Sure. I know you're not here to dish dirt, but you did back in 2002 when you left as their chief economist at the World Bank. What was your major? I mean, I have transcripts here and things you've written, but I mean, in your words, why did you leave the World Bank? What do you think they're doing that's wrong? I mean, the predatory practices, the IMF World Bank documents that came out shortly after you left, and the BBC, your meeting with Greg Palast, where, you know, it's this predatory system of going in and blowing out economies so global financial corporations can come in and just take over.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. The more fundamental thing was that the whole system was rigged against the poor countries. Rigged for the advanced industrial countries, and that the result of that is that there were an awful lot of losers. To give you one example, the last round of trade agreements were so unfair that the poorest countries of the world were actually left worse off. So that while the advanced industrial countries, the big multinational corporations, came out as big winners, there were unfortunately a lot of people who were losers.
But the documents that were released, I mean, the premeditated nature of this, who are the players that are behind, you know, not just rigging it where the industrialized corporations that control the industrialized first world systems, I mean, really, it's a type of, weight, you know, the IMF riot, bringing in conditions that cause even greater collapses for greater consolidation.
Well, that's right. Part of the problem is they had an agenda that they talked about called privatization and liberalization. Privatization meant selling off government assets that had been invested in over decades, to foreign companies, often at a fraction of their true market value. So while the citizens of a country had worked hard, saved, invested that money over a period of 20, 30 years, when they sold the assets, the citizens of that country got almost nothing for those assets. Other cases where water is a basic necessity of life.
They would triple it in a week, as you wrote. I mean, the private corporation pays off the politician, basically, pays off the government, and then seizes the infrastructure and then jacks up prices.
That's right. I mean, what happened with many of these cases, they had privatization before regulation. At least we understand that if you're going to have a natural monopoly, a company running selling electricity, if you have only one company doing it, you need to regulate it. And what happened in the IMF didn't understand what we do here in the United States and what every other advanced industrial country does. If you're going to have a monopoly, you have to make sure that it doesn't overcharge. So they privatized these government enterprises, didn't put in the regulation. And sometimes the result of that is the prices increased enormously.
And then the predatory nature was so great it would even then debase the economy to the point of where the privatization went belly up.
Oh, there were many cases of that kind. But the example in Mexico next door, they privatized the roads. And then, of course, they weren't able to maintain those roads, and the government had to, again, take over the roads after the company had collapsed.
Joseph Stiglitz, former chief economist, World Bank. Incredible information. Quick break. You brought us into roads. That was the next question I had. We're on the same page. Please stay with us. You're very gracious to join us.
Ted Anderson from Midas. It's November 22nd, 2006. Gold's at $631.30, and 1 ounce coins could be purchased for $652.08, $328.59 for half ounce, and $164.30 for quarter ounce coins. That's $646.68, $328.59, and $164.30. On June 4th, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your Liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that a semi-secret organization called the Council on Foreign Relations was founded in 1921 by Marxist Colonel Edward Mandel House, who was a personal advisor to President Woodrow Wilson? Its objective was to capture the foreign policy section of the State Department to help direct U.S. influence in the overthrow of targeted nations for communism. They were successful in the overthrow of Cuba and the Union of South Africa and many others. They control foreign policy in America this very moment in time. We'd like to help you understand how these things are coming to pass and how they will affect you by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helps. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at Bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks.
Welcome back. Dr. Joseph Stiglitz is our guest. Got a new book out. We'll tell you about it before he leaves us. He'll be here with us till about 40, 45 after or so. And we are honored to have him again. You mentioned roads. You were telling a story about Mexico, quote, privatizing roads. Please continue, doctor.
Well, the point was a very simple one, that they sold the roads to the private enterprise, and the hope was that they would be more efficient. Of course, what happens is that they didn't maintain the roads, they couldn't generate enough revenue, and they eventually had to default, turn the roads back to the government. There have been lots of other examples. Mexico has provided a number. One of the more disastrous was they privatized the banks. And the argument, again, was that they would be more efficient. In many cases, that happens. But in the case of Mexico, the way they privatized led to a major banking collapse. The government had to bail out. A lot of people wound up with a lot of money outside of Mexico.
Chase Manhattan Citibank.
And it cost the people of Mexico an amount equivalent to about 40% of GDP. It's really one of the greatest robberies that have ever occurred.
Exactly, and that was well publicized. Now, speaking of roads, I was going to bring that up, but not Mexico. Here, the Spanish company Cintra does sweetheart deals, and they've done the calculations, even mainstream news has, for about 5% of the true value of existing roads, they're being ceded them. But we're talking existing major arteries and being given them to put transponders in the cars, taxes at exorbitant levels, to fund a lot of North American Union projects. Some of the government funding goes into that, the new SPP, Security Prosperity Partnership. That's come out. And so I'm now seeing the same IMF World Bank vultures coming into the industrialized world. Can you speak to that?
Well, this is a movement that's gone over all over the world. It's a movement of trying to turn over basic facilities, water, roads, to the private sector. The reason for it, in part, the good reason is that it's supposedly more efficient, often turns out not to be the case. The bad reason, which is really driving it, is that the governments today don't have to pay the budget constraints. They get a little bit of money up front, but then the problems are left to future administrations.
Isn't it also that 70%+ of the stock market ownership is by institutional purchasers in government?
I don't know the exact numbers, but increasingly a large fraction of our stock is owned by, it's by our pension funds, institutions of that kind.
Well, I looked at the comprehensive annual financial report for Texas a few years ago, and the lion's share was owned by companies. I mean, not companies, but by government.
It could be. I don't know. I haven't looked at that particular set of data.
Yeah, it's such a huge field in economics, I understand. But can you speak directly to this? So you agree there is a massive move now, not just in the third world, with this so-called privatization that I call hijacking and looting, but now in Europe, the United Kingdom, and the United States, Canada?
Yeah, it is, although some of the failures have put a dampener on this movement. And in the UK, they privatized the railroads, and everybody today recognizes what a failure that has been. The railroads weren't maintained, the roadbeds weren't maintained, there were a number of accidents, people were killed, and so that a number of people are, on the basis of that experience, are rethinking this policy of privatization.
What has caused predatory globalization? What has caused it to shift into such a predatory stance?
Well, I think, of course, everybody's always wanted to take advantage of others to the extent that they could. I think the fundamental difference is a free market ideology that is being used, or more accurately, abused by those who have seen how to take advantage of that rhetoric. So it sounds good to say, oh, private enterprises are more efficient than government. But take the Social Security Administration. A couple years ago, there was an attempt to try to privatize Social Security. The fact is, the Social Security Administration is more efficient than any private insurance company because they don't have to spend all the money in advertising and trying to cream skim to figure out who's the best risk, who's the worst risk. In the UK, they did privatize the Social Security system, and at least part of it. And the result of that was that benefits were reduced 40% because of transaction costs.
Dr. Stiglitz, final segment with you on the other side. We'll be back in just 3 minutes. Stay with us. It's GCN Radio.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
For centuries, salt products have been known to help people stay well in body, mind, and spirit. Soleil Wellness is a unique company that scoured the world to find the best salt-based products to help you and your family. Safe, easy-to-use, environmentally friendly products that fit into any lifestyle, decor, and can be used by anyone at any age. Soleil Wellness has a unique selection of salt-based products. Not only Himalayan gourmet salt and healing bath salts, Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, ionizing salt crystal lamps, respiratory relieving salt pipes, pain relieving pillows, and more, all designed to keep you and your family balanced and well. Visit Soleil Wellness today online at natural-salt-lamps.com. That's natural-salt-lamps.com. Or call 312-224-2710. That's 312-224-2710. Mention GCN Live for a free gift.
Dad, can we stop? We need to go to the bathroom.
What? Again? We just stopped 2 hours ago.
Honey, let's stop, because I gave the kids their Spark Berkey water bottles.
Why did you do that?
Because they can't drink and talk at the same time, and that way we don't have to listen to them singing, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" for the entire trip.
I didn't think about that. Great idea.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment for the kids. Bottled water costs around 75 cents a bottle, and using our Berkey Sport bottles, it costs us less than 2.5 cents per refill.
Honey, you're terrific.
Oh, honey, so are you. You're the one that bought the family our Sport Berkey water bottles. Now, can we stop? I need to go, too.
Get your Berkey Sport purification bottle for only $39 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I got three or four final questions for Joseph Stiglitz. We'll also tell you about his new book. He's coming to Austin this weekend. You can come hear him speak at the Texas Book Festival. And we're coming to you live from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, Texas. The website's rinfowars.com and jonesreport.com. Dr. Joseph E. Stiglitz, of course, has written Globalization and Its Disconnects. A new book is out, Making Globalization Work. He was the chief economist at the World Bank and the vice president of the World Bank. What do you think of the difference between the last head, Wolfensohn, and the new head that we see here from the United States, Paul Wolfowitz?
Well, I worked with Wolfensohn very closely, and we tried to actually redirect the World Bank to focus more on poor people, reduce poverty, a comprehensive approach to development, to try to cut back a little bit on the privatizations, the liberalization, what was called the Washington Consensus, a consensus between the World Bank and the IMF and the U.S. Treasury about how to run development, but actually an agenda that really failed almost everywhere that it tried. So that was what we were trying. The current administration has not, Wolfowitz has unfortunately not really been able to put together a comprehensive approach to development. It's only emphasized corruption. but hasn't even put forward a kind of an agenda for dealing with corruption. For instance, there are these secret bank accounts. There was an agreement among advanced industrial countries to do something about the secret bank accounts that played such an important role in facilitating corruption, but the Bush administration vetoed that. In August of 2001, of course, in September 2001, we realized that these secret bank accounts not only facilitate corruption, they also facilitate terrorism. But the focus was on increasing the profits, those who engage in tax evasion, all those who use these kinds of bank accounts for nefarious purposes. Those were.
But that would take a global authority to do that. So I think on the surface, you know, it sounds good, but that would be dangerous. But then it does show that Bush doesn't want to stop all of these other secret bank accounts. What do you think about things that, like John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman? Have you read that book?
I haven't read all of it. I mean, what he's raising, the basic point that he's raising is that a lot of the aid doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Much of it seems to be motivated by the interest of contractors. And I think, unfortunately, there's a certain element of truth in that. There's an overtone in this book, a little bit of a conspiracy. I'm not sure it's as conspiratorial, but the effects are much the same as if they were a conspiracy.
And the effects are we've got super powerful global corporations basically buying off even Western governments and using the IMF and World Bank monies to basically go in and blow out economies and buy them up.
Well, in fact, that was one of my main criticisms, that they pushed these policies called capital market liberalization that led money to speculative money to come in, come out. You can't build factories of money that can come in and out overnight. But what you can do, that kind of volatility destroyed the economies. The financial markets made money when the money was coming in. Then they made money when they had to restructure the devastation that they left behind.
What about the North American Union? You know, they've signed it. It's officially now being set up. The Asian Union's been officially announced. But it seems like it's the same corporations that are in there writing up all of the basic, you know, laws and tenets of these new global structures, and the people, by and large, aren't even aware of it.
Well, I think that is a problem. Part of the thing is there's something called the North American Free Trade Agreement. If it were a real free trade agreement, it would just be a couple pages. We eliminate our tariffs, they eliminate theirs. We eliminate our non-tariff subsidy and our subsidies, they eliminate theirs. But these agreements are thousands of pages, and
isn't
of course
this,
no citizen can read that.
Dr. Stiglitz, whenever we hear North American Union or any of this, this is really just powerful interest groups getting together, rewriting the laws under a new framework that suits them.
Well, I think one of my concerns that I raise is that there is not the kind of democratic accountability and transparency that we've come to demand within our own governments. We don't always get it. But these international institutions, for instance, don't have a Freedom of Information Act. Some of the basic protections,
transparency
that we put in place, transparency, to make sure that citizens can know what is going on. And that's one of the points that I emphasize very strongly, both in my old book, Globalization and Discontent, and in my new book, Making Globalization Work.
Let me ask you, I got two final questions, and I want to plug the book and we'll let you get out of here. Global government, I mean, it's here, it's being set up, the three unions are being slowly merged together, but still the mainstream media will call that a conspiracy theory when all the official documents say that this is really being set up. Number one, I mean, what do you say about global government or how it's forming, and why do you think there's so much denial by people that it's happening?
Well, I mean, first, the fact that we are economically interdependent does mean that we have to undertake certain actions together, and if we don't, there are some problems that won't be solved. And for instance, there are these ozone-destroying gases that were putting holes in the atmosphere, letting in radiation that was causing skin cancer. Absolutely necessary to deal with this problem if you don't want to get cancer. And so there was an agreement, a very specific agreement only, that doesn't run into the whole world. It just says you can't produce those ozone-destroying gases that lead in.
But if you've got a global authority that knocks out secret bank accounts, and then, of course, that global power can selectively do that, that is the ultimate tenet of global government.
Well, no, What you need is just very limited regulations that restrict certain kinds of bad behaviors.
But then that's unified. But doctor, that's unified regulations.
Well, no, they're not. They're just minimal. Let me give you an example. I used to see these old cowboy movies when we were growing up, and there would be differing stakes, and the bandit would always ride on his horse across the state line, and the sheriff couldn't stop him. Well, if you're going to have safe havens for criminals going across state lines, it's not going to be good for our global economic system. So, unfortunately, we are interdependent. You know, whether you like it or not, we have become interdependent.
Yes.
And that means you have to address some of these problems that go across the borders.
Sure. You've got to go in a minute, but what I'm trying to say is this. It's all the mechanisms, the apparatus of the IMF, World Bank, Ex-Im Bank, World Trade Organization, World Health Organization, NATO, you know, all of these are controlled by the same institutions, or the same moneyed powers, and they're all causing the major problems in many, and then they always have a good cop, and I don't doubt you're probably a nice person, very intelligent, a good cop who comes out and says, oh, we need a loving, you know, global framework and a good one, and, you know, you've got, so we're given the false choice of a loving global government or an evil, nasty, fascistic, George Bushian global government, and then at the end of the day, what of those of us that don't want interdependence, those of us that want to be sovereign? I don't think globalization has been good for the U.S. We've gone from the powerhouse to the, you know, to the crap house. Excuse me. I mean, it's destroying us.
Well, in fact, I think, you know, if we hadn't taken advantage of globalization, we would actually be much poorer than we are now. Unfortunately, we haven't managed it as well as we should. Now, maybe I'm coming from the West. I have a certain Midwest optimism that we can do better. And it's clear that we've made some very, very big mistakes. And you've repeatedly talked about the fact that we've been borrowing. We're borrowing $3 billion from countries elsewhere.
But I don't think it's a mistake. It gives these corporations, they're always left with the bag. The taxpayers pick up the tab.
Well, I think that's right, and that's why we need more transparency. We need to have more accountability of what our government is doing. We need to have know better, more about what it is doing. But that won't be solved if we walk away from globalization.
Well, I mean, regardless, the leaders of globalization, the people, the prime movers, they're always grab the money and run, and it's just a revolving door, and it just keeps happening. I say, you know, go back to the way it was previous, or the Bretton Woods Agreement. You know, get back. I mean, look at what's happening to the dollar. In fact, let me ask you, where do you think the dollar's going? The debt bubble, the real estate market?
Down.
I mean, I saw the Financial Times of London, 3 months ago, saying that the elite is saying we've got to position our money to survive during a crash. They're not even saying they can pull us out of it. Now there's only a discussion of them surviving the crash landing.
Well, I am increasingly worried. I've been worried about for some time. And real estate prices last month, new real estate, went down 10%.
So do you see a huge correction, global recession or depression?
I see a correction, and if it's well managed, it will only be a slowdown. If it's not well managed, it could be a recession.
Okay, last question. We know there are now the biggest splits in the ruling intelligentsia and the main owners of the wealth inside the elite. We see this in publications. We see this in splits. I've talked to people inside the last Bilderberg Group meeting. It was in the Canadian press, screaming at each other. Have you ever attended Bilderberg, and have you seen a split in the past?
Well, no, I haven't attended that meeting, but there are lots of disagreements among the elites. One of the things that makes me more optimistic, though, is that there's beginning to realize that we are facing some serious problems, that we can't go on as we have.
But I'm saying the same institutions that have always done the same thing in the past feather their own nest at the expense of the third world and the first world. It doesn't seem like they're the people to continue. Every time they put us in harm's way, then they come back with a new solution. I mean, take debt forgiveness. I mean, you take, say, Nigeria borrows $5 billion, they end up paying $33 billion, and then now we call it debt forgiveness to cut back some of what they owe. If they've paid 30-something billion off of an initial, you know, $4 or $5 billion, then they don't owe anything.
I agree with you on that, and in fact, it's worse than what you described, because accompanying that debt forgiveness is a whole set of conditions that make them give up their sovereignty. And in some countries, the loans in the first place were were made for arms payments to go to arms dealers. The money didn't even go to help the people of the country.
What elite do you think is preeminent right now in global politics? That is outside countries. 44 of the biggest 100 economies are private corporations. What corporations? What is it? Energy? Is it defense? Is it the people at the Bilderberg Group, the CFR? I mean, who's the most powerful? Who has the most influence right now?
Well, I wouldn't try to parse it that way. I wouldn't put it quite that way. What all of these groups are powerful and influential. I think unfortunately in this current administration, the defense industries and the energy industries have really been running the show, and it has been disastrous. I don't think there's ever been a time in recent history where two groups, two industries like that, have exerted so much influence on policies to such disastrous effects.
So there's not enough separation of powers.
Well, I don't. I wouldn't. You know, we still have our different groups in Congress. We have the executive branch.
What do you think of H.R. 6166, the Enemy Combatants Military Commissions Act?
I'm not sure I know all the details of that.
Well, it abolished 9 of the 10 Bill of Rights. That's been top
loss. I know the bill you're talking about. I thought that was the, if it's the bill I think we're talking about. I don't know the bills by all these numbers. But if it's one I think you're talking about, I think it's a disaster. I grew
up. Yeah, the one passed 3 weeks ago dealing with torture.
Exactly. I grew up under the idea that there were certain basic things that defined us as Americans, innocent until proven guilty.
Due process, yeah.
The due process, writ of habeas corpus, you can't be put in prison without, government bringing charges against you. I thought that almost defined us as Americans.
Do you think that we are in danger of ending up having what you call the IMF riot someday here in America?
I don't think we're in danger of those kinds of riots, but I do think that we ought to be thinking a lot more about our basic rights and principles. And that bill, as far as I can understand, really did compromise some of our basic rights. And we thought of it as only compromising the rights of some people who were not Americans. But once you start breaking down these principles, there's a basic golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Well, that's what's scary. They said it didn't affect citizens, but it does say in there it does, sir.
Well, and not only that, other countries are going to reciprocate. And Americans are traveling all over the time, doing business in other countries. So in fact, it does put Americans at jeopardy, and no matter how you look at it.
Do you ever talk to David Rockefeller?
Not very often.
What is he? I mean, what's on his mind when you've talked to him? What's he talking about?
I haven't talked to him recently enough to be able to answer that question.
But, I mean, the last time you talked to him, what was he talking about?
I can't remember actually.
You're going to be here in Austin this weekend at the Texas Book Festival. Just type Texas Book Festival into Google, folks. You'll find out all about it. You're speaking Sunday at the Capitol, aren't you?
That's right. On my book, Making Globalization Work.
Well, maybe we'll pop in with the news crew and get a 5-minute interview with you for the local TV show. Making Globalization Work, I think it's a dead horse. I don't think you can make something that's fundamentally been flawed and compromised work. But we are globalized now, so who knows where we're going.
We can make it work better.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess so, maybe. On
that's
our
really what we're talking about.
Well, you're going to be there speaking about the new book.
Yeah, that's right, and trying to explain how we can make, why it hasn't been working, the ways in which it hasn't been working, and some ideas about how we can make it work better.
But they did get mad at you. I mean, some say you left, some say you were fired. What really happened at the World Bank to you?
Oh, well, it was a mixture. What they said is that I could stay as long as I didn't say anything and didn't talk to the press, didn't talk on radio. I had originally come there and said, if I'm going to go accept this kind of job, I want to be able to speak my mind, talk about what I think is what ought to be done for making the world a better place, helping the developing countries, helping the poor in the United States and other advanced industrial countries. They weren't interested in that, and so we amicably parted ways.
Did they get mad when all those documents magically were released?
The people in the IMF were not very happy when I criticized them. I think they were particularly unhappy because I predicted that certain things would happen as a result of their policies. I turned out to be right. If I'd been wrong, I think they could have forgiven me, but the fact that I was right made them particularly upset.
And when you say correction, again, the Financial Times and others are saying they see massive upheaval. I mean, when you say correction, are you talking about, I mean, openly the financial elite are talking about just trying to survive what's coming. What do you, I mean, do you think the debt bubble will pop or what's going to happen?
Well, I think it all depends on how well this whole thing is managed. There is absolutely no doubt that there is a misalignment is the euphemism that people use, and that there will be a correction. I think if it's handled well, there'll be a slowdown. We already see a slowdown. The numbers that came out today on the quarterly growth figures show the slowdown. If it's well managed, it will be nothing. It will go from the slowdown into a recovery. It's going to be difficult. What worries me
how is the management? Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I mean, how's the management right now? Are they doing the right thing?
No. It's been. This has been the perhaps the worst 6 years of mismanagement of the macroeconomy. I think there's a broad consensus on both parties about the mismanagement of the economy.
When do you see it imploding then?
Well, as I say, I think that we can avoid an implosion if we manage this very carefully, but it's going to be very risky.
Okay, and you're talking the next 12 months, 24 months?
I think we're going to go through some very difficult times in the next 12 months, next 24 months. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thank you, sir, for joining us. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Oh, boy.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing crisis, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit HerbalHealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
I'm not bragging, but I want police and military and government people listening who don't study wide-spectrum data to realize that I can have an engineer in about the collapse of buildings. I can have a Nobel Prize winner in economics on. We can have somebody on about ranch management. We can have somebody on about any issue. If I'm going to speak on something, I know what I'm talking about. Okay? World government's real. They're planning to take everything you've got. all the elite experts in economics and banking are saying that we are going to have a massive correction, and most of them are saying we're not going to make it out of it. You heard him say really bad, global depression, Ron Paul saying it. And I talked to stockbrokers, business advisors. They don't know anything. They play within the false paradigm that they're projected, that they're given by the global corporations that own the financial media. You try to talk to somebody who's a stockbroker. What do you know about stocks, Alex? Well, I know the Dow's rigged with only winners, and I know the money supply has been devalued by 44%, so the Dow's really at 6,200 and something. Oh, what's that? Oh, money devalue. What's that mean? And again, I don't even claim to be that smart. I just study the stuff. And let me tell you, I see bad, 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 bad all over the place. And so we know what we're talking about on 9/11. North American Union. The economy. The dollar. Everything. Okay, this show needs to be on every talk station in the country. It isn't. If we had real information getting out there, we could save this country. I know we got loaded phone lines. I'll try to take calls here at the end quickly, each caller. It's just... I'll be on the radio this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. We're going to have Aaron Russo on again. Be sure and join us. Bunch of news, and you can listen via Infowars.com. Or hopefully stations out there that are picking up this show will pick it up. Or if you can't carry it live, re-air the new show I'm doing. A lot of new stations turning it on. We want to thank them. And please get Aaron Russo's new film, American Freedom to Fascism, available, showing the Federal Reserve, showing who these scoundrels are. There's a reason they ran Joseph Stiglitz out of there, because he wouldn't play ball with them. He's a globalist, but he doesn't believe in hurting all the people. Well, you're gone, buddy. Nobel Prize winner. And this is how it works. You know, he's got a soul. He's got a conscience. I don't think he's just playing good cop. He is a good cop. But he doesn't understand the full paradigm. And he understands his limited spectrum of analysis, which is understandable. He can go to higher levels than any of us when he studies one small sliver. I study the full spectrum, and I mainly go to history because humans tend to do the same things over and over again, so I can see a condensed version of what's happening today in any aspect I wish. That's what I've done. Please get America Freedom to Fascism. It exposes the banking system, what's really happening. Available at Infowars.com, and you get TerrorStorm for $10 when you $9.95 when you do order that. When you do get American Freedom to Fascism at Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. Ron in Georgia, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, I just had a comment about the gentleman that called in earlier. If he doesn't believe anything that's going on and he believes that everything is just fine, why is he listening to your show? And why is he calling in? I think it's our own fears that keep us from realizing the truth. We don't want to see the truth. I wrote a quick caption, if I could read it for you.
Sure, go ahead.
The chains of our captivity are not bound so tight as to deprive the mind of free thought. They lay rather on the foundation of the ever-shifting sands of lies and iniquity, shielded from the light of truth by the shadow of our own fears.
Well, I mean, I just had a 45-minute discussion with a Nobel Prize winner, former head of economics at the World Bank, and he agreed with everything I said. And I knew, and I said neo-mercantilism. He didn't write that in his book. I studied history. It's mercantilism. Globalism's mercantilism. And I'm not tooting my horn, folks. I know what I'm talking about. Thank you for the call, Ron. Tom in California. Sorry to help Margaret and Eric and others. Tom, go ahead. Take us out.
Alex, I was wondering if you could give somebody some advice on starting a newsletter that basically copies all the headlines off Prison Planet to my local area here. For people that don't read the internet, maybe would pick up a newsletter instead, read the same headlines. Do you have any advice on how
I'd take the articles we write every week. They're the best. And I'd take 4 or 5 of those every week or every month or 10, whatever, and do it that way.
And to get freedom to fascism in my local theater would be the best way to go about doing that.
Call Aaron Russo. I'm out of time. Vaya con Dios. Have a good, safe weekend. Ask God for guidance. Love your family. God bless you all. See you Sunday on the radio.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.